Thank you very much. Thank you. It's great to be here. How cool is it to be here in front of a public health nursing crowd inside the public health nursing section? I am, as I was introducing myself the other day, as a newly minted assistant professor at the University of Washington Tacoma School of Nursing and Healthcare Leadership. Great fun to be there, great population to work with, and an urban campus that's serving an urban community with profound disparities inside the campus, and that's one of my areas and my research interests. This presentation is a little unique inside the rack of presentations that you have today. I'm excited to see the other presenters, but I go about things a little bit differently. I look at discourses. I look at how we talk about power and voice and integration of people inside this flux of thing that we call public health. So thank you very much. And funding and programmatic support, I got, this is my dissertation research, and Sigma Theta Tau funded me, as well as the University of Washington. My disclosure is no disclosures. My two objectives that I wrote in this program was to describe how discourses of asthma management disparity are introduced and promoted in African-American adolescents with asthma in Seattle. And I want also to help you identify new methodologies for interrogating disparities in public health nursing practice and research. And the focus really here is on interrogating. If my premise is already that we are here in a system that has powers, that if we do not attend to the powers that are creating the structural inequities that exist in this world, then we are not going to be able to get anywhere. So let's engage communities and begin talking about power. My aims in my entire dissertation were many, but they were to describe these discourses within Washington State Asthma Planning Project stakeholders. So these are public health leaders inside Washington State. I wanted to look at how they talked about asthma management disparities, and I also wanted to work with African-American adolescents and see how they talked about asthma management disparities. I wanted to compare these to some of the national discourses that we have around asthma. Again, a little note to self, I'm watching diabetes increasing in terms of its discourses, and if you look at the diabetes section in your books nowadays, it's vast, it's huge. Asthma has remained somewhat small. We are now the kind of orphaned kid, the orphan child of chronic disease out there. So it's very nice that you're here and you're going to listen to me talk about asthma. My methodology, I won't deal with it in incredible detail, but systems of power are maintained by how we talk about things. And words that we use are both oral, they are engaged in text, and they're engaged around actions that we take. So all of those things form what we call a discourse, a practice of talking, a way of talking about things. And, oh, look, there's a practice, a way of talking, the action model to achieve healthy people 2020 overarching goals. And we have an ecological model, right? We have a way of talking about this. I engaged with that ecological model, and I began to look at how whether adolescents were talking and using discourses, using ways of talking in all levels of that ecological model, especially in the power and policy and the systems focus at the top. That was my interest area. Here's the problem. The only graph that really tells the story is the one by Gupta that was done now donkeys years ago in 2006, but this was an evaluation between African-American adolescents and white American adolescents, and looked at asthma, the sign points for asthma management, right, which are hospitalizations for asthma. That shows poor asthma management, right? The differences between, the unfair, unequal differences between African-American adolescents and white American adolescents are growing, at least according to this area of data, and that's one of the common areas that we focus on. So I used photo voice. I'm mainly going to talk about my work with the adolescents in this presentation and talk a little bit about how they began to jab at this notion of power and began to interrogate this notion of power inside talking about disparities. I gave them cameras. We did a standard photo voice project, three meetings, and then they did a presentation of their photographs to a public health stakeholder, these public health leaders that I was also researching at the same time. So we had a public health stakeholder meeting last March, and March 25th, we had three focus groups building up to that, where the kids went out and took photographs and brought them back. We discussed them, we talked about asthma management disparities, I recorded their conversations, and developed, got this huge amount of text, which, of course, in qualitative research, we just love. My sample was fairly balanced between male and female adolescents, had around 15 attended the final gallery event, but actually 19 adolescents produced photographs for those for the data sample, and around 21 participated in and out throughout the whole process. So it was a lot of fun. I was racing between high schools. I had a blast. Here's quickly getting onto my findings. I just want to really mention two findings, and I'm going to sneak in a third one that you may not notice, but I'll point it out. My two major findings is that adolescent discourses are rich across all ecological systems. Adolescents with asthma, adolescents, African-American adolescents managing asthma, can talk about race and class and just social justice in terms of their, in the context of managing asthma. So if we can't talk about it, they certainly can. My second major finding, of course, is that there are new discourses. There's new ways of talking about asthma management inside African Americans that we're not even on the stage for beginning to talk about in terms of our national discourses or in terms of our public health way of talking about asthma. So those two things are really the things I want to hammer down on, and principally that second one I want to focus on. But here's the little sneak peek at some of the other results in my study. I broke out my ecological systems into sort of like a Nancy Krieger model, but you know, I had a social cultural level of discourses around the social cultural realm, a community level, healthcare, ways of talking about healthcare affecting asthma management, and individual family ways. Most of our life, we're dealing with health behavior, adherence, access, all those sorts of things are very, very individual behavior. I don't really think, I think of access as sometimes a community level discourse, but a lot of it's focused on that. But look at what happened here. Adolescents were able to have discourses around social-cultural, political change, political systems, racism, discrimination inside healthcare and other things that they experienced. But when I had the conversation with public health stakeholders, there were no conversations about racial discrimination in healthcare. And when I specifically asked them to talk about African-American disparities, African-American youth, and asthma management disparities, these public health stakeholders did not raise that as a discourse. So it's not on the tip of our tongue if we all assume that we're public health stakeholders and public health leaders in this world. But it's on the tips of the tongues of adolescents. I'm going to go into these in a little bit more detail, but some of the conversations that novel these are the new the novel adolescence discourses that I'm going to briefly show you in a couple of slides. Athletics. We talk about athletics inside asthma, but in a very specific way. These adolescents were talking about athletics in terms of academic performance, holding me back. Our sports teams aren't the greatest compared to other schools, right? That's a crap school to a good school kind of disparity, right? Discourse. Oh my God, stairs. They took tons of photos of stairs. Adolescents want to talk about stairs in schools as a built environment, as an environmental, as an environmental justice piece, right? That's new to us. I've never heard us in our asthma community ever talk about stairs before. And these kids did talk about stairs. Healthy meals. So it's not just the diabetes folks that need to be caring about healthy meals in schools and food and nutrition. In the asthma world, we need to start upping our conversations about food for children who are managing asthma, because these kids definitely saw a big connection with this. And I'll show you one of the photographs that the kids took as an example of that. This is an example of the school discourse. This was a teenager who looked at their school and said, "Our school is not. Our sports teams aren't the greatest compared to other schools in this area." So kids took photographs of athletics. I'm going to read some of these a little bit later. This was a major one for me in terms of looking at this one adolescent said, "It's not a." He titled this one "Walking All Day on the Steps." And he said, "It's not a problem for me, but for most people I see, people get winded off of it. It's good exercise. We have more stairs down here in the South End. More stairs, more floors." So stairs are a mixed bag, right? Good, bad. But there's more stairs in that more predominantly urban, predominantly African-American schools in the school district compared to the white schools in the north. Oh, that was the perception of the teenager right there. That's going on inside adolescents when they're talking about asthma. This is a great photo. Kid snuck a camera into Winco's, right? You're not allowed to take photos in grocery stores, but here she did a regressive act, and she took this photograph of the Oreo cookies. Cookie Land is a land full of cookies, and as you can see in this section of the store, there are many different types of cookies. I know that we Americans love junk food, and that is why we are all unhealthy. And this is the most interesting part of this section. This is a deep discourse. I'm not saying that cookies triggers my asthma. I'm saying that all junk food does this. So at one point she's saying it's not all asthma, but it's all junk food. There's a deep conversation going on inside adolescents' heads around the role of food in their health, in their personal health, and in their asthma management in this particular case. These are some of the novel discourses in terms of what youth were doing with some of the conversations they began to have. I think that some of the discourses that they were using to interrogate popular notions around asthma management, discourses of control versus discourses of cure. Kids want to talk about cures for asthma, and we don't want to talk about cures for asthma anymore. We're done with that, right? Can't cure asthma. Just give them a steroid. Disparities as gap, right? We want to talk about disparities as difference, right? And they want to talk about disparities as a social justice issue. The other one was discourses of voice, the ability to speak and the right to express these views freely, some of these things. And certainly, in terms of what the adolescents did with the Photo Voice Project was to talk about participation, was to engage and talk about leadership with that. I'll show you a few of the photographs that came out from that. This was a major one for me. This is the adolescent called this a bump in the road. And he said, this is a picture of a small pothole in the road. It's not really that big, but once cars keep driving over, it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I use it as a metaphor for asthma and something that's going to keep on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And to subdue the problem, they fill the hole right back up, but it becomes a pothole again, sooner or later. So it is a temporary fix. And it makes me think, is our inhaler just a temporary fix? And when are we going to make it so that it permanently just stays the way it was meant to be? These are interrogating asthma identities. These are how we place kids, how we talk about kids with asthma, and how they think about themselves with asthma. Again, this is a motif of stairs being used inside a conversation. And this is a story about an asthma kid who's taking care of his family with asthma. So he is managing asthma, and he's managing the asthma with his family. Stairs are a form of exercise and help prevent your asthma from flaring up and causing an attack. What I see happening here are three sets of feet that climb these stairs, my family. It relates to everyone in life keeping their legs strong. It helps my mum with her asthma. This photograph was taken and the words were used in the state plan for asthma. The public health leaders that gathered together were writing a new state plan for asthma in Washington State and took this one photograph and put it in the Washington State plan for asthma. So that's a policy achievement within this work that this adolescent did have. Lastly, I'll just show this picture because this is I'm going to go to this one. This is a picture called Our Shadow. You can see that this teen framed this picture, right? Again, a discourse of identity, and this is partly the problem why we're in the back room, in the middle of the Yerba Buena room, in about the darkest dungeon to have these kinds of conversations, because our conversation is private and our conversation is about a disease that we can't see, right? One common thing about having asthma is that you can't tell who has it by simply looking at someone. Asthma affects many of our daily lives without people noticing. This photo was taken with the feeling of loneliness. Living with asthma has been much of a secret, being that many people don't know I have it or what it feels like to have asthma. This is a common discourse. This is something we've seen before, but there's something new as well going on with this. This is a discourse that is now being published, right? This kid knew that this was going to be in front of the public health leaders and it was going to be a, hey, notice me kind of a discourse. So I think adolescents who are managing asthma, especially African-American adolescents, are beginning to talk about managing asthma in new ways and in different ways that we need to pay attention to in the public health community. My other offering for this work is that when we begin to engage in discourses and discourses that interrogate power and begin to talk about power, we have new tools as nurses and as public health leaders to do something different about that voice, to do something different about engaging with that voice, to do something different about learning from that voice. Thank you very much.